This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, hope everybody had a great weekend. We usually, I start off the show, it's kind of what you do. What is it? You can always talk about the weather, they say, right? That's kind of the saying. There's a saying like that. You can always talk about the weather. And it's kind of true. It goes for me when I get on the radio sometimes. It's like, well, the weather. Well, when it's like this, when it has been like this, it makes it easier to talk about the weather. It was, again, another like really chilly weekend. Had baseball this weekend. I know a lot of you remember the previous weekend, Memorial Day, it was like, oh man, a lot of rainouts. There was all that the drizzle and rain and had tournaments. A lot of people said they had canceled and or they sat out there and watched in the, drizzling lacrosse too, the, playoffs. It was the NCAA, tournament, the ending, obviously the same weekend as the Bandits, but youth lacrosse, anything. This weekend, a little similar. I mean, actually, I didn't think it was going to rain, but it started to drizzle a little bit yesterday. Saturday and Sunday, had some baseball to watch for the kid, and it was like 50 degrees on Saturday, 55 on Sunday, not too bad. Now it's going to start to get a little bit warmer. So I'll take it. I do remember every year, the Jim Kelly Celebrity Golf Classic used to be the Monday following Memorial Day. It's no longer, it's now in August. It's shifted to August a couple years ago, but it used to be the Monday following Memorial Day. And for some reason, like every year, it just seemed like that day was not the best weather. And we'd go out there and be like, man, it's chilly out here. It's already weekend after Memorial Day. So that was this past weekend. It's now, right? That was now. It would be today, generally, if it was on the same schedule. And so I do know it's not like uncommon for this time of year and this week to not be the best. But you look at the long range, you're like, okay, let's get back into it. We need warmer weather. We need to feel good again about ourselves getting outside, enjoying the weather, because we know that, summer is fleeting sometimes in Western New York when it gets a little bit later. And I think a sure sign of, getting through the summer is OTAs and mini camp and then training camp at St. John Fisher at the end of July kind of tells you, okay, we're all done now. We always ask every year, same kind of question. When is the end of summer for you in Buffalo? Is it when training camp opens? Is it the Erie County Fair? When is it? So I think once we get to training camp, though, even though there's some nice hot weather, it's like, okay, full steam ahead. Football's here. That means it's the fall. And then just a few weeks later, you have preseason games. You really think about it. Man, when is the Hall of Fame game? is going to be, here's some news here, just came out. KeyBank Center is going to host the 2025 Rivalry Series game between USA and Canada. Did you see this, Evan? Sal Capaccio, by the way, with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good Monday morning to you. Evan DiPasquale is producing. And Evan, did you see this news here?
Yeah, I saw that. I was just scrolling through Twitter or X. I still call it Twitter. And that the KeyBank Center will be hosting USA-Canada. Now, is this is for women's hockey? Well, still,
there you go. Okay. USA. Women's national. Yeah, U.S. women's national team will face the Canadian women's national team on November 8th. So there you go. All right, that's pretty cool. That's an incredible rivalry, by the way. So we'll talk more about that. I do want to talk about the Sabres today and the moves that they made. This news just came across because I saw the alert and I wanted to get to it. So we'll talk more about that as well. Paul Hamilton will join me here at 11 a.m. and we'll talk more about that. And Sabres moves, including now the Sabres hiring two people to help Kevin Adams to be by his side. However you want to phrase it, talk about it. This is, I think, you know, a pretty big statement about, you know, what Terry Pegula and the organization feels they need around Kevin Adams and with Kevin Adams. And also that they still have Kevin Adams. And that doesn't sit well with a lot of you. And I understand that. There were a lot of questions whether or not he would remain in the general manager position. He is remaining in the general manager position. But now, Eric Staal has been hired as an assistant to him. And now you have a hire in Jarmo Kekalainen, formerly of the Columbus Blue Jackets, was their GM. He will now be the team's senior advisor for the Sabres. So you're basically surrounding Kevin Adams with people to help Kevin Adams in one way or another. One younger, one older. And the way I envision this, and I want to ask you your thoughts on this in a minute. The way I envision this is Eric Staal is basically going to be kind of like a liaison with the players and help out from the player side and looking at and maybe even trying to recruit players. Come to Buffalo. Why would you want to do that, right? Okay, come here. Here's why. Maybe in the room a little bit more. He's closer to their age, obviously. Played not too long ago. I mean, Eric Staal is 40 years old right now. You know, he can go in the locker room and maybe relate to players and what they're thinking and bring that to Kevin Adams, something like that. That would be kind of his role, I would think. And then you have Jarmo Kekalainen, who it seems like his role is more of a going to lean on a person here who's done this before, who's been there before, been a general manager in this league, has had some success. No, not winning a Stanley Cup necessarily, but has had success helping another franchise and team that's in some ways similar to the Buffalo Sabres in a city where it might be a little tougher to get free agents, but they've done that. And they had some success on the ice. Maybe a bit of overachieving success, even I'd say at times with Columbus over the years that he was there. And he's going to be the guy that maybe can help with understanding, you know, different viewpoints on how to approach certain situations or players or agents or whatever it is. That's how I envision it. I think the question, though, the big question I want to get from you here at 803-0550 is simple. Does it matter? Does it matter to you? Really, that's where I am with this and what I want to know. Does it matter to you on how you feel about the Buffalo Sabres? I'd like to get your thoughts on this because it's kind of a vibe check with the Sabres right now. Are you so down the... I did this maybe a few months ago. It might have been during the middle of the season. It might have been during the 13-game winless streak. It might have been right when the season was ending, whenever. I don't remember the exact time. I did a show, and we talked about like your love for the Sabres and how much it has waned because of what's gone on. And I think what I learned is, and this wasn't surprising to me, we talked about this. You still love the Sabres. We all do. We love the Sabres here in Buffalo. It's a hockey town. And even though that you might be disappointed, upset, you're still there with them. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to every game like you used to. It doesn't mean you're buying every piece of merchandise like you used to. Like, the way in which you support them might be different. And even support might be a weird word, right? But the love and the passion you have for the Sabres and for hockey is still very, very evident. So anytime they make a move that matters on the ice or off the ice, you're there for it. Now, the way you used to be there for it back, you know, 15 years ago is way different than now. Back then it was, okay, is this what's going to help us get a Stanley Cup? Now it's, yeah, does it really matter? We're just trying to make the playoffs. Can they even do that? Can they get out of their own way? And even looking at it from a maybe skeptical side, which is it doesn't matter what they do, it's not going to work because nothing works right now. Whatever decision Terry Pegula makes or Kevin Adams makes or whatever. And maybe that's where you are. I am interested, though, with the hiring, not just of Kekalainen, but Staal as well, but mainly the hiring of Jarmo Kekalainen. Like, does it do anything for you for the Sabres? Does it say, do you get to a point where you say, okay, you know what? This is something that they should have done. I'm glad they're doing it. I think that this will help Kevin Adams. It will help the organization. Or does it get you more to the point of, you know, you're just, or even, maybe not even more, does it just keep you in the same spot of apathy, I guess? Nah, doesn't matter. You know, what's the old saying from Buddy Nix? Remember Buddy Nix? Former Bills GM came on the radio one time and he said, people don't want to hear about the labor pains. They just want you to show them the baby. Something like that. I'm like, well, okay, that might be what you're thinking of here for the Buffalo Sabres. So what are they getting in a guy like Jarmo Kekalainen? Well, a guy that has been, you know, a GM in the NHL. He was, in fact, the first European general manager in the league when he was hired by the Columbus Blue Jackets. A Columbus team that, again, I would say maybe even overachieved in some years where you thought, okay, they're not going to be that good, but they wind up, you know, having a higher point total. I think he oversaw some of their better point totals, you know, while he was there at least. So I think from that standpoint, you could try to be a little bit, you know, optimistic and say maybe this is something and somebody that, you know, has seen kind of what that looks like for these teams, for a team like this. When he gets hired, I believe they come in, what does he come in 2013, I think it is. And then they make the playoffs, they miss for a couple years, and then they go to four straight playoffs, advancing out of the first round once. Still more success than the Sabres have had. They haven't even been there. And throughout that time, they still weren't there. So what does it do for you, if anything? 803-0550 is the number to call. Also today, going to talk at 10:30 with Sal Marana. Now, I know that, I think the guys had Sal on Friday, but because last Monday was Memorial Day, we didn't have Sal on. So did a little check before the Yankees-Dodgers series. And now coming out of the Yankees-Dodgers series and the rest of baseball and where we're at. And I texted Sal yesterday, hey, you good for tomorrow at 10:30? He's like, yeah, lots to vent about. So I can't wait for that. But then the Yankees went out and actually held off the sweep from the LA Dodgers. Just a little while ago, I finished watching Jessica Pegula's round of 16 match. She actually wound up losing. She was up one set to none and lost two sets in a row to a woman from France who was unranked and, like, in fact, I think ranked in the world like 3-something. Part of the reason was this particular woman had a ACL injury last year and she missed a year. But still, first time Jessica has actually lost to an unranked player at the French Open. It's not her best surface, clay surface. It was a fantastic match, though. A lot of drama. In fact, it lasted like 2.5 hours. I got up this morning, started watching it before 7 a.m., and it just ended a little while ago before I got on the radio here. But she is now out. That was the round of 16. She is third ranked in the world. I don't know if that will impact her world rankings. It probably will. She might drop down a couple of spots in the world rankings, but it would have been nice to see her, you know, advance on to the quarterfinals, get in the top eight, but that's not going to happen this year. So Jessica, if you were paying attention this morning or knew that she was playing, or, you know, maybe you had to go to work or whatever, she is now out of the French Open for 2025. And give Lois Boisson, is how you say her name, give her a lot of credit. She played a great match, especially after losing the first set. Jess was in control, like 6-3. And then second set, just kind of back and forth, didn't go her way. Third set, she actually had control, 4-3. Then she didn't win another game after that and lost 6-4. And there were some massive, incredible points, by the way. TNT is where it was, if you didn't watch it. No, Rob, I did not say 50s in June is not too bad. I did not say that. So I don't know what you particularly heard, but thank you, Rob, for tweeting me. I love you, but lowering the standards. That is not what I said whatsoever. I said it was a pretty... I didn't even know nothing close to that. Sorry, Rob. It's Monday. It's Monday for everybody, Rob, so I'll chalk it up to you for that. No, 50s in June is terrible. I hate it. It should be warmer. I want it warmer. We all need warmer weather. I want to get out and golf, but more than that, I just want to get outside and enjoy warmer weather this time of year. That's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Did not say that whatsoever. I do want to know, though, what you think about if it's how good or bad it is from your standpoint, what the Sabres are doing or haven't done. Maybe you just feel, and I can get this from a lot of people, maybe you just feel that no matter what they do, it doesn't matter. Because Kevin Adams is the GM and the only thing you need is a change at general manager. Now, I would say in a lot of cases, and this probably is one of them, when you have somebody like a Jarmo Kekalainen, who's been a GM in the league, who now gets hired kind of to be over your shoulder a bit, it gets a little tougher, you know, there's a little pressure, I guess, even more pressure on a guy like Kevin Adams, knowing that somebody's right there. But we all know that Terry Pegula and Kevin Adams have a good relationship. He's held on to him, what, for this long? He's been in his position. He's the ninth longest tenured GM, I believe, in the NHL, is what I read today. So what does it matter, if anything, to you at 803-0550? The NHL draft is coming up on June 27th and 28th. So later this month, where it's hopefully not 50 degrees, Rob, because I hate it when it's this 50 degrees in June. June 27th and 28th. And then, of course, just a few days later, you have July 1st. And by then, by the draft, by that day, hopefully we'll get some resolution and know what's happening with Bo Byram, with J.J. Paterka. I heard the guys this morning, Jeremy and Joe, talking about J.J. Paterka and asking Paul about how this summer's going to play out. Paul, which he'll be on at 11 a.m. Paul says he doesn't see an offer sheet coming for J.J. Paterka simply because that's not what happens in the NHL. And you did get a couple of them last year. I think for the most part that's true. But I would also say with this particular player, there was a lot of smoke at the trade deadline with J.J. Paterka. A lot. And I know it's people that weren't necessarily credible, reliable, whatever. I get that. But it just seemed like his name was out there, and it wasn't just a Frank Saravelli who, you know, might have gotten it wrong. It was also I think Elliot Friedman had him listed on possible deal, like on his list, basically. Pierre LeBrun, whoever it was. But his name was out there. Like, there was a lot. It just seemed like there was a lot of smoke. And I do wonder if there's a team out there that wants to make that type of offer. And even if not, I don't think that's the full question on J.J. Paterka. I think part of the equation and question about J.J. Paterka is also, do the Sabres feel like they want to pay him, or do they want to trade him to a team that is willing to pay him something else, even if it's not the type of offer sheet offer, because the Sabres need to flip some depth, have a little bit more on the blue line or somewhere else. Like, that's part of the question, too. Then you have the Bo Byram situation. And he's going to be an RFA. He is an RFA. What happens with him? Does he get moved? Do the Sabres pay him? There are questions. Someone pointed out to me the other day that, and I think Paul has said this, too, if they do wind up like just kind of qualifying and signing their RFAs, they're a lot closer to the cap than people realize. I still don't think they're in any danger. They can go out there and they can make some moves here, and they can, you know, sign some of these guys to extensions, and they can maybe even bring in some free agents. There's always things you can do. They're pretty low right now when it comes to, you know, salary cap and the floor and the cap overall. But yeah, once you start adding those up and those salaries, yes, that's what's going to, it is going to start to eat into that. So we'll see what happens with the Sabres. But by then, you think that a guy like Eric Staal, I'm sure to me, like I said, going back to what I said earlier, probably doing his work on what free agents the Sabres might want to bring here. Is that a bigger name? I mean, I know everybody talks about Mitch Marner. I don't know. Is it possible? Sure. Johnny Gaudreau went to Columbus while Jarmo Kekäläinen was the GM. And people didn't think that people were pretty stunned when that happened. So maybe. That's what I think the Eric Staal role is, though. Which is basically, hey, get a feel for some of these guys in the room now, our current guys, and when there's a free agent, maybe make a phone call or two. Tell them why Buffalo would be a spot to play. You were here for a cup of coffee. You came here now as a member of the front office. And you can sell that. Maybe that's what he wants, what his role is. And then Jarmo Kekäläinen can be somebody that Kevin Adams can lean on when it comes to actually doing the hockey business. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. Speaking of hockey, with the NHL Stanley Cup Finals beginning. Final. Stanley Cup Final, right? I always get there right. One's the final and one is the finals.
It's the Stanley Cup Final, and then the NBA is like kind of almost trademarked the finals. So that's why they don't like mixing them up. That's why it's called the Stanley Cup Final. I don't understand it, but that's what I've always been told.
Right. I think that's about right, but it is true. It is called the final with no S, when in the NBA it's called the finals, and everywhere else it's called the finals. But that begins, I believe, Wednesday night? Wednesday night, I believe, is the first game.
Yes, for the Stanley Cup final, yes.
Wednesday at 8 p.m. That is Panthers and Oilers. Oilers have home ice, so it'll be at the Oilers for two, at the Panthers in Florida for two, then if there's a game five back in Edmonton, game six back in Florida, game seven back in Edmonton. Of course, last year, Edmonton was down 3-0. And that was in Florida, game seven. They went back. They came back 3-0. They came back to tie the series. And then they lost it in game seven. Mike in Colorado wants to chime in. He's up first. Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yes. Good morning. I mean, this whole situation, you have... they basically brought in two guys to be babysitters for the so-called guy in charge. I don't understand the mindset and the money being put into this. I don't know what he's making, Adams is making, but I imagine it's millions a year, you know, somewhere in that area. I mean, from what I understand, the Sabres didn't even spend to the cap this last year. I mean, money should be spent elsewhere in this situation for this team.
I don't think money's an issue here. I don't know why money, like money for the GM and assistant GM.
I remember when I was 6 years old, and this was back right when they first started in 70. I was 6 years old, listening to the game, and every so often they'd have one on TV. But, I mean, this whole situation, it's like... I just don't understand the mindset behind it, and maybe you can clear that up to me, but I don't want to make excuses for this. There's no more excuses for this franchise anymore. It's been...
Well, I'll try to clear one thing. I'll try to... Mike, you got me? Do you have me, Mike? I tried to chime in. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so yeah, I don't think money has anything. I don't know what money would have to do with the assistant GM. They're not making all this money. There's a different... There's no cap on executives or coaches, so money shouldn't have anything to do with that. I don't think they're taking and spending money on Jarmo Kekäläinen versus, you know, Eric Staal that it comes out of. I mean, I guess at the overall you know, cash flow, I guess, but that shouldn't matter. What should matter here is what it matters to the on-ice product, right? And I don't disagree with you that, you know, hey, it's been a long time. You go back 1970, sure. I mean, I grew up the same way in late 70s, early 80s. My first, experience with Sabres hockey, and you know, we're all right there. You want them to get back to a lot of those days, but I don't think money has anything to do with kind of what's going on in the front office versus what's going on the ice right now at all. Tony in Buffalo. Hi, Tony. You're on WGR.
Hey, what's up, Sal? Kind of going to play both sides of this, man, because I am someone who has, for the most part, checked out on the Sabres. But that doesn't mean, as someone who, you know, follows professional sports closely, that I'm going to just ignore what I have, you know, seen with my own eyes through the years. And that is that competent front office people matter. All right. I'm not going to draw a parallel with the Bills, but, you know, because Bean certainly wasn't babysat. But, you know, from the beginning, almost, with Bean, it was Shane and Gain. You know, he always surrounded himself with competent people that I think also mattered in the decision-making processes. And if there are competent people now in the building that weren't there last offseason, in this critical offseason, I do think overall the franchise will be better served in the short and long term.
All right, thanks. Good call, Tony. I appreciate it. And you're right about that. Brandon Bean, he did surround himself with you know, people like that. And we've always seen the way that the Sabres operate, though. That's not how they normally go about it. So it goes back to the call that Mike made a little while from Colorado. It's not about the money, Mike, for the front office people. The Sabres just have always had a philosophy, I think. We're not even talking about a vice president of hockey operations, or a president, I should say, of hockey operations. That's just something they don't believe in. We're not even talking about that to that level of, you know, spending in the front office. Just to hire advisors, guys, people to help out. There hasn't been a lot of that that's gone on. It's really been kind of very linear between the owner and the GM. Good call. Thanks a lot. Good start today. We'll take a timeout. Sal Marinaro coming up. Pinstripe People's his newsletter. We're going to talk a little baseball and the Bills, of course, because Sal covers the Bills. And the Bills have OTAs. Back at it this week. Tomorrow, back to OTAs in Orchard Park for a media session. So we'll get with Sal on baseball and the Bills after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
He did some work on the infield. This one is driven to right field. Teoscar back, still back at the wall. Bounces off the base of it. DJ LeMahieu, what a night. A double there. Bellinger will score. And for DJ, his fourth hit of the night, second RBI.
Yanks needed that last night from LeMahieu and others to avoid the sweep from the Dodgers. I have no idea if anybody named Sal was at Josh Allen's wedding this weekend. But I wasn't, and this Sal wasn't. As far as my knowledge, you weren't there, right, Sal? You weren't at the wedding this weekend. You were watching the Yanks.
Yeah, my invitation got lost in the mail, as I'm sure yours did, too. It's funny.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
I was at the ballpark in Rochester yesterday, and Mike Cannellata was there, too. And we were saying that we were both joking that, yeah, I guess we're here, so we weren't there.
No, that's right, that's right. I give a lot of credit to everybody involved, because there wasn't much about it. You saw some pictures that floated around on social, but it was not a really big deal. Someone told me, I don't remember this specifically, that when Jim Kelly got married to Jill back, you know, when they did in the late 80s, early 90s, whenever that was, that literally like the local news channels were live outside the church here in Buffalo. This was not like that here.
No, that was, well, obviously in Southern California, it's probably used to that type of thing. But yeah, you're right. The Kelly wedding, I remember the Kelly wedding. I didn't go, of course. But yeah, that was a news event. That was actually a news event that the people covered. So yeah, quite a different scenario. But we're we're talking about a different time, Sal, and definitely two different people. I mean, Josh has become as Hollywood as it gets for a quarterback, yeah. I think, with his new starlet. So yeah, but hey, good for them. It's funny. I was teasing with Mike, too. You know, now Josh and I are anniversary buddies, because my anniversary was Saturday, so he ended up getting married. Basically, mine's the 30th, so he got married on the 31st. So I'll tease him about that when I see him again.
Well, yeah. Happy anniversary to you. And also, he got married on Josh Reed's birthday, actually. So I texted Josh, and I said, I said to Josh, our buddy from Channel 4 here in Buffalo, I said, hey, at least you'll never forget Josh Allen's anniversary and say happy anniversary to him as long as he's in Buffalo, because it's on your birthday. It's easy to remember, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right, Sal Majorana joining me here on the West Her Hotline. Of course, you can subscribe to his newsletter. It's absolutely free. If you're a Yankees fan, you want to subscribe to the newsletter. I want to make sure everybody knows that right away. It's called Pinstripe People. You can go to Sal's Twitter/X feed at Sal Majorana, and you can click it right there. It's the pinned tweet. All right, things started off not very good for the Yanks on Friday and Saturday. They turned it around on Sunday. Give us just a synopsis of what this weekend meant for you watching them going forward for this Yankees team.
Yeah, I mean, look, I still believe, Sal, that the Yankees are a better team this year than they were last year. However, that being said, the Dodgers are still a major problem. And if these two teams were to get to the World Series, which would be awesome, I think the Dodgers are still the better team. You think about, Sal, what happened this weekend. The Dodgers took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. One of those games was absolutely embarrassing, the Saturday game. And they did it without Mookie Betts, without three of their best starters, and probably five of their best relievers are all on the injured list. And they still took 2 of 3 from the Yankees. And if they ever do get their guys back, they are going to be a wagon for any team that faces them. And I think we saw that this weekend with what they did to the Yankees. I still think the Yankees have a ways to go before they can compete with the Dodgers this year. And again, who knows what's going to happen? October's a long time away, but that was my takeaway from the weekend was, okay, the Yankees can play with them, but they're still not better than the Dodgers.
Are the Yankees the best team in the American League, or is that the Tigers or somebody else?
You know, I think deep down, I think the Yankees are the better team than the Tigers. Obviously, Detroit's record's a little bit better right now, but I think the Yankees have a little bit more than Detroit personnel-wise. Remember, the Tigers are playing in the AL Central. Now, there are some decent teams there, probably better, quite frankly, than some of the AL East teams, but I'm not totally sold on the Tigers yet. We'll see. I mean, in a couple months, I might change my mind on them, but I still think the Yankees are slightly better, and I would give them the nod if they played, say, in the ALCS this year.
Yankees are going to take on the Guardians. That should be an interesting series coming up here. All right, if you are Brian Cashman, somebody in the Yankees organization, after watching what you saw this weekend, you say, okay, to play with the best teams to win a World Series, we need blank. What were they missing this weekend when they lost like they did?
Well, I think the biggest hole on the team, Sal, and it's been the same thing all year, is third base. I mean, they've got to figure out third base. Now, it sounds like they're going to, when Chisholm returns, which I think is going to happen this week, it sounds like they're going to move him back to third base again this year, like he played when he arrived last year in the trade. So that signals to me that they're going to ride with DJ LeMahieu at second base. Now, he had 4 hits last night, so that was nice, but he also started that game batting 171, and I just don't think that LeMahieu is really going to be the answer. I think he's a very, very average player. He is still injury prone, so we'll see if he can make it through. But I would prefer Chisholm stay at second base and Cashman go out and get a legitimate third baseman, because that really is the hole. I mean, that is the hole that they face right now. Now, the other thing to consider here, I don't know if you saw late last night when Boone was talking, this Luke Weaver situation could be a problem. He was supposed to pitch the 9th inning. He got up and warmed up. And I'm thinking, okay, he didn't pitch because they got the run and it was no longer a safe situation. Well, we find out.
I was wondering the same thing. I was wondering why he didn't come in because it was still a four-run lead. And like, okay, well, things can get hairy here. Go ahead. What happened?
Yeah, apparently, you know, I figured the same thing. Okay, it's a 4-run lead. Big deal. Well, this is the Dodgers. You know, put him in there and finish the game. Well, it turned out he might have tweaked his hamstring while he was warming up. And if that's a hamstring, if it is a tweak and if something's wrong, if he has to go on the injured list, Sal, you know how hamstrings are. That's going to be at least a month. And now you don't have Luke Weaver. Do you trust Devin Williams to go back to being the closer? So maybe he needs to find a relief pitcher, even before the trade deadline to get them through if Weaver really is hurt.
Talking with Sal Majorana here on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, I know that you think the Red Sox might have the second most talent in the AL East, but right now they've lost, 6 of their last 8? They're 8.5 games behind the Yankees. Who's the Yankees' biggest threat at all in the AL East, even though they are 5.5 games clear of the Blue Jays right now?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that the Red Sox can get it turned around. I do think they are a talented team, and they've got some of their young kids up there right now, and they're counting on those guys. I mean, this group sort of reminds me of the Baltimore group a couple years ago when everyone said, man, when these guys get up there, Gunnar Henderson and all these other guys that they had, they're going to be really good. You sort of hear the same things about the Red Sox prospects, and now they're getting their chance. Now, it started off slowly for them, but I still think, you know, the Yankees are playing them, you know, six times here in the next 2 weeks, once in New York, once there. So we'll see. We'll see about them. Right now, I don't know if I want to believe in Toronto, but I'll tell you what, they're hitting the hell out of the ball. They all of a sudden, their offense has cranked it up. I think it's like the last 10 games, they're like one of the hottest teams in baseball offensively, and they've also won five in a row. So they're a team that I'm not sure I believe in them yet, but they're certainly playing well, and we know that Toronto's got the pitching. I mean, their rotation is very good. So they could be a problem for the Yankees. We'll see.
Sal, have you ever, I mean, we've never seen it actually happen in record, but what do you make of seeing a team at 9-50, the Colorado Rockies? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, it makes you wonder how they beat the Yankees the one game.
Yes.
That was their last win, by the way. I think they've lost eight in a row since then. It's incredible how bad that team is. It's a shame. I think you and I even talked about it one of the first times we did the show, that Colorado, that place, the ballpark is so beautiful. They've got a great fan base. I mean, the fans still show up for a team that's historically bad. It's just hard. That place is just hard, man, for baseball, right? It's the pitching. Yeah. It's so difficult to get guys to go there, you know, to sign free agents because it's such a bad place for, you know, for pitchers. They get rung up. I don't know what to do about the Colorado situation. It's a shame. But, hey, what are you going to do? Someone's got to lose all these games. Last year it was the White Sox. Now it's the Rockies.
All right, so last thing on baseball, I want to get your thoughts a little bit on Bills and OTAs. Here come the Mets again, Sal. I mean, they're getting hot now again after they had a bit of a slump, but I think, one loss in their last, like, you know, eight games, I think it is?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're a good team, Sal. I mean, we knew this when they played the Yankees. I mean, they just swept the Rockies, and, well, actually, they had the White Sox and the Rockies at Citi Field this past week, and they won, what is it, five out of the six, whatever it was. They lost one game to the White Sox. So I heard, I think it was one of the guys from the New York Post had said that this was homecoming week for the Mets. You know, they had the White Sox and the Rockies there. They needed to win, you know, either all of them or, you know, maybe just lose one. Well, they did exactly that. So, yeah, I'm not going to take too much, you know, they're 37-22 now. I think they're in second place behind. Are they in second place right now?
The Mets. No, Mets are in first now. They have passed the Phillies. Yeah, they're a half game ahead of the Yankees even now. The Yankees overtake them as far as overall record, 37-22, and the Phillies have dropped a few here.
Yeah, they had a good week. The Phillies dropped, I think, two or three to the Brewers this week.
Yep.
In fact, my son drove down to Philly yesterday just to see the ballpark. He hadn't been to the ballpark, so he watched them play the Brewers. Yeah, the Mets are good. I mean, I fully believe the Mets are going to be, you know, a playoff team, obviously. And, you know, that's a team that, you know, I wrote in the newsletter today. I hope the Yankees don't end up playing the Dodgers. I hope somebody along the way knocks them off in the playoffs. The Mets are a team that I could definitely think could do that. If they face the Dodgers, they could handle them, I think, in a playoff series. So, yeah, they're very good. I think it's going to be a really, really cool year in the National League. It's clearly the best league this year. I mean, it's way better than the American League. I think their postseason is going to be fascinating.
One more media OTA. That's tomorrow for us, for the Bills. They'll have OTAs for the team on the field a few times this week. And then next week, it's mandatory minicamp. Last week, I think a lot of us felt that Elijah Moore was a bit of a storyline last week. Seemed like he was connecting with Josh Allen quite a bit. How do you take that when you see that happening? Is it, you know, don't overreact, or, okay, let's at least pay attention here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I told the guys Friday when I was on with them, I missed OTA because I was on vacation last week. I needed to get some days off. So I didn't see the Elijah Moore show. But I will say this, I liked the signing when they did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made a very valid point when he signed with the Bills, you know, and how he gets a chance to play with Josh Allen. And, you know, without degrading anybody, he basically said, yeah, I've played with lousy quarterbacks both in Cleveland and New York. So it's nice for him to get to some, you know, get to play with a guy like Josh Allen. And, you know, he caught like 200 passes in his first 4 years. So, and that's a bad quarterback play. So he could be a nice find for the Bills. We'll see, though. Like you said, it's OTA. I generally, Sal, ignore this stuff. I ignore this time. Yep. They're playing touch football. You know, the linemen obviously can't do anything really of substance. So I don't take anything out of OTAs. We'll see when they get to camp and things start playing themselves out. But, you know, I look at the Bills receiver group, and I kind of like it. I mean, you know, especially if Curtis Samuel can bounce back and be more productive, more you add him into it. I think they've got a nice group there.
By the way, here are the names. Zach Wilson, Mike White, Joe Flacco, Josh Johnson, Chris Streveler, Deshaun Watson, PJ Walker, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Jeff Driscoll, Jameis Winston, and Bailey Zappi. In 4 years, 11 different quarterbacks Elijah Moore has played with.
And he caught 200 passes. So the guy, the guy can play. The guy can play. And I think if they can find a nice role for him in this offense, like I said, I think the Bills have got some nice diversity. They don't have the superstar. They don't have Justin Jefferson or, you know, Chase or any of those guys. But they've got some solid veterans on that team. I think it's a nice group. I think Josh Allen will do a good job with this guy, with these guys.
All right, we are 1 week away, away from kind of James Cook Day. That's the way I want to look at it, Sal. How much on your radar is that? Like, if he's there, if he's not, does it matter? Do you expect him to be there? Like, how much are you kind of paying attention to that particular storyline?
Yeah, like I said, I'm not paying attention to it at all right now for these OTAs. They are voluntary.
Yep.
Now, obviously, he's not there because, you know, he's not there for a reason. He's purposely not showing up to make his statement. But next week, the antenna is going to go up a little bit for all of us in the media to see if he shows up. It brings you back to the Stephon Diggs drama a couple years ago. So I expect him to be there. I hope his representation is smart enough to realize that he doesn't have a whole lot of leverage in this situation. So get to camp, you know, make the goodwill gesture, and then we'll see where it goes from there with the negotiation. I still don't think the Bills are going to extend him. I think the season is going to play out, and he doesn't have a choice. He needs to play. He can't pull, you know, the guy from the Steelers whose name is escaping me right now, the running back.
Le'Veon Bell, yeah.
He can't pull a Le'Veon Bell, you know, and you know, skip the year. That would be a stupid move for James Cook. Yeah. So get in there next week, show your face, you know, be the good soldier, and then come back to camp and play and prove to the Bills that they should extend you. That's what he needs to do.
I'll see you tomorrow. You'll be at OTA tomorrow?
Yeah, sadly, my first vacation week has come to an end, Sal, so I got to get back to work here. But, I'll be out there tomorrow.
Well, you might. I'll see you tomorrow. You might talk with the guys again next Monday. Here is my schedule's a little funky as well these days. But in the meantime, we always appreciate it. And of course, people can sign up for the free Pinstripe People newsletter. Folks, you got to see what Sal does with this thing. Puts his blood, sweat, and tears into it. Sign up for it. It's at Sal Marijuana right there on X. You can just go there. You can click it. Sign up. Just enter your email, and it's absolutely free. All right, buddy. Well, Yankees and Guardians next, right? They're next up after a day off, then they'll get after it, and it's a big series for them.
Yeah, it's a good series. They just had the rematch of the World Series. Now they get the rematch of the ALCS last year, and Cleveland's playing well too. Another good team. And then the Red Sox come in for the weekend, so it's a nice week at Yankee Stadium with two good opponents.
All right, Sal, we'll talk to you soon. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Thank you.
All right, bud. Take care.
All right, you got it. That is Sal Marijuana. Great job he does again. Great newsletter for Yankee fans. Talks baseball, but it's a Yankee newsletter, and there's some really cool stuff, not only about what the Yankees are doing now, but looking back in the past and things like that, but always a great talk with him. Baseball this time of year, we're doing it once a week with Sal, and of course, getting in the football stuff with the Buffalo Bills tomorrow, OTAs. The Bills also made some moves over the weekend. They announced some hirings and promotions, which I'll talk about here coming up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points show as we get to the top of the hour with Paul Hamilton on the Sabres hire of Jarmo Kekäläinen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right. Back here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we'll try and squeeze in a call. Mike in Hamburg is up. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hi, Sal. How are you?
Good.
I heard you on the radio yesterday with NFL.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. What's up?
Well, my question is, the fourth-round pick that we have that is not signing his contract, and he's starting to throw some trash at the Bills. One in particular is Josh Allen. He threw that.
Why? What? Tell us what happened. What are you talking about?
He said to the national media that Josh Allen did not deserve the MVP.
That is not what happened. Hold on. Let me stop you, Mike. Hold on. You gotta dial it down a little bit. There was an NFL tweet from rookies about Madden, EA Madden. And they asked a bunch of guys while they were at the combine, before they were even drafted by a team, about different things. And Deion Walker, who eventually was drafted by the Bills at that time, said, yeah, Lamar got robbed of the MVP. He never said Josh didn't deserve the MVP. He didn't say it after Josh was drafted. This was a video done while these guys were at the combine, because it's clear because they're all wearing the same numbers and everything. And then now because it came out recently, you're seeing it and interpreting like that.
Yes. Well, and he also said it because he's not signing his contract.
He's not. I don't know where you're getting that from. He hasn't signed a contract. He's going to sign a contract. The rookie, he'll sign his contract. He'll be under contract.
Well, here's my question.
They all do.
Here's my question. If he doesn't sign his contract, we still have his property, correct?
Any player who gets drafted and does not sign, he goes back into the draft the following year.
The following year, but the year before that.
Correct. But Mike, you don't have to think about that. It's not going to happen. He'll sign his contract. He wasn't talking trash about Josh Allen, and he'll sign his contract.
Well, I hope he don't. I hope they let him go.
You... Okay, I think that's ridiculous. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Paul Hamilton is up next on Jarmo Kekäläinen, the Sabres' new hire.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
He has a willingness to listen to different perspectives and use different tools when they're at his disposal, right? You look at the Blue Jackets front office. They had Josh Flynn as the assistant general manager. That is a nerdier pick. They have, you know, people like Cam Lawrence working for them. And obviously the Sabres have a very good analytics department and they have minds like Sam Ventura. So I think the fact that he's willing to work with that and bring in different perspectives, it's always a good thing.
Shayna Goldman, I believe that's what you said, right, Evan, right there? There's yeah. Shayna. And obviously, talking about the new front office for the Buffalo Sabres, hire Jarmo Kekäläinen, which we're going to do as well with our Paul Hamilton, who joins me here on the West Her Hotline. All right, Paul, good morning to you. Hope you had a swell weekend, my friend.
Yeah, you too. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. What do Sabres fans need to know about Jarmo Kekäläinen?
Well, the thing I like about him is he's done a lot of different things in hockey departments. Of course, we know he was the general manager for many years with the Columbus Blue Jackets and in Finland, too. But he also served as director of player personnel for the Ottawa Senators. He was assistant general manager and director of amateur scouting for the St. Louis Blues. So it's not just, you know, one thing. He can help in many different areas for the Sabres. Plus, you know, he did some bold things when he was with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I always point to Johnny Gaudreau when he was the number one free agent that year. Nobody mentioned the Columbus Blue Jackets as even being in the picture there. You know, it was the bigger teams. And then next thing you know, they announced they've signed him. And it's like, that was crazy. I mean, wow. You know, how did he pull that off type of a thing? You know, Artemi Panarin played in Columbus for a while. Now, it didn't last, but he was there for a little while. So, you know, this is a guy that, you know, reaches for the stars. He's not afraid to make a big splash or at least attempt for a big splash and figure out a way to be able to get it done. So those are the positives, I think, in bringing a guy like this in to be able to fill that position.
Okay, so the Sabres now have made two moves around Kevyn Adams. One, a younger person, 40 years old, recently in the league, Eric Staal. One, an older GM, not older in that sense, but more experienced veteran, like you said, in Jarmo Kekäläinen. How does all this work in the front office now with these two new additions?
Well, with Staal, he's going to be learning the ropes, basically, of a front office. And I've seen many longtime NHL star players do that. Wind up in front offices, and so that's more of what he's going to be doing. And he can also help with players that he's played against recently. He just recently retired not too long ago, so if they're thinking of so-and-so or player A or player B, you know, he might have played against that player and have, you know, something to say about that. So it's just a guy that's been around the NHL for a long time that wants to learn about the front office and move that way. Danny Briere is a perfect example of that with the Philadelphia Flyers. He came in like that. So there have been many players that have done that. So this is a thing, too. You know, when they created that this position, Terry Pegula made it very clear that this is a guy that's going to be heard. You know, now, of course, Kevyn Adams makes the final decisions on anything, you know, to do with, you know, the decisions. And I think Lindy Ruff's going to be heard more, too. You know, trying to say, all right, this is what I need, or this particular player just isn't fitting into what we want to do. So I think he's going to have a little bit more say in how, you know, the types of players that he wants on the team or maybe doesn't want on the team. But it's more a collaborative effort now, you know, talking at the table. And, you know, he will be listened to and he should be listened to.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Her Hotline. Okay. What does it say about what the team feels Kevyn Adams' job is, the job he's doing, give him this help? Is it even, like, could you see this being added more pressure on him? Hey, get the job done early on. Things aren't working out. We're making a change. Or is this really just, Kevyn really just needs more support because we support him and he hasn't had that? How do you see that read from it, Paul?
I think it's the last one. I think this is a position that should have been added right away. But if you recall, the reason Jason Botterill was fired and Kevin Adams was hired, is Botterill, you know, the ownership decided they wanted to gut the hockey part of things and, you know, have less people and let go of a bunch of scouts and other people. And Botterill really wasn't willing to do that and wasn't doing it quick enough. So they let him go and brought in Kevin Adams, who was, you know, willing to do that. Now, to Adams' credit, he convinced Pegula after a year or two that this isn't working. We need to get more people in here. I mean, it just, you can't have the same guy in charge of amateur scouting and pro scouting who has never done the job before, either one. And so, you know, he was able to convince Pegula that we got to start getting some people back in here. But that was the time, really, to create this position. Now, it wouldn't have been Kekalainen because he was the GM of the Blue Jackets back then. But if you're going to hire a general manager with no experience, you should have done this when you hired him. So he would have this person right away and not have to learn on the job and learn through mistakes and those types of things. But, you know, that's not where the Pakula's mind was at the time. They were in, we need to save money and we need to back off people, and people were let go because of it. But, you know, 5 years later, they have done that. And, you know, Adams has one more year. I don't know if Terry Pegula is the type that says this or else. He doesn't seem like that type to me, but it's possible. I suppose he could have told Adams, either make the playoffs or you're gone. This is your last chance at it. And of course, then he now would know if that were to happen, he would know Kekalainen for a year and would have worked with them. And I would think, unless there were things he didn't like about the job he was doing, he might have the inside track should something like that happen.
How would you define Kekalainen's tenure in Columbus?
Did some good things. I mean, they made the playoffs, 5 years, and there were things they did right, but there were also things that didn't work out. You know, he wasn't afraid to take big swings in the draft either. And some of it worked out and some of it didn't. So, you know, he was their GM for a long time, but yet, you know, he eventually was shown the door. It just, you know, at some point just wasn't working out for them. And, you know, he was there from 2013 to 2024. And that covered, well, let me see here, 869 regular season games, and he had 410 wins and 362 losses. So, you know, as a group. But at the end of the day, things kind of stalled there, and then he was let go. But he had a long run. I mean, he had an 11-year run there. And I remember the draft where they took Dubois, and I remember the draft floor. It was just a big gasp. It's like, really? Wow. You're taking Dubois, and it was the 16 draft. It was the draft the Sabres took Nylander 8th. Dubois went 3rd overall. So he wasn't afraid to take a swing with that either. I mean, a pretty good player. Now, the Blue Jackets and 5 other teams left Matthew Tkachuk on the board. He went 6th. Clayton Keller for Arizona went 7th. So those were two guys that maybe you would have taken. You know, Matthews and Laine were the top two in that draft. Dubois was 3rd. Puljujarvi, Edmonton, went 4th. So, you know, it's – and so that, you know, that was one where he took a real swing, and he surprised a lot of people. He wasn't afraid to do that, but that was one that maybe didn't work out. I mean, Dubois is still in the league. He's played 598 games, but what should he have been the 3rd overall pick? Probably not.
Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, Paul, so we are now in June. The draft is at the end of this month. There's been a lot of talk. You know, you and I have both kind of agreed that if the Sabres could shop the pick and, you know, maybe not take another prospect but get an NHL player. How tough is that, though, you know, to get something like that? You've seen trades made. I think people have pointed out you're not going to get as much as you think for something like that. Or is it something where maybe the Sabres have to pair it up? Maybe you take something off your roster. You take that number 9 pick, and then you can trade it away for something that can help you this year.
Yeah, I mean, they have to fill the gaps that they have, and they have to become a better defensive team. 29th in the league is not going to make you the playoffs. You're just not going to make the playoffs if you're 29th defensively. They were fine scoring goals. They can score goals. But they have to get better defensively, and they have to do what it takes to get better defensively, to get a top-flight partner for Owen Power. And you're right. If it takes the number one pick and a player, you know, for a really good player, then, yeah, you've got to do that. And I think Adams is willing to do that. He was totally willing to trade the pick last year, but nobody traded their pick last year. It just wasn't anything that happened. So that didn't happen. So I think he would totally be willing to trade the pick. He's already said, you know, they're done with the we need prospects. They have enough prospects. They have, you never have too many, but they have more than are going to make the NHL on the Buffalo Sabres. There are only so many that can play on the team. So you have that currency, and you got to use it. A lot of people weren't happy when they traded Savoy for McLeod, but at the end of the day, that's the player they needed. They needed a good, fast two-way center, and they had three number one, the first-round picks in that draft, Savoy, Osland, and Kulik. So they let one of them go to get that player that they needed, and I think that was a good trade. From the day it made, I never thought it was a bad deal. Because you don't know what Savoy's going to turn into. He could turn into a Hall of Famer, or he may never play in the NHL for more than 10 games. Who knows, what he's going to turn into. He's a smaller player. So that was an example right there where they took one of their top prospects and turned it into a player that they desperately needed on the big club.
I heard you talking with Jeremy and Joe today about J.J. Paterka. And, there's the offer sheet stuff out there. Okay, so I know what you're saying, that it really doesn't happen very often, so it's very unlikely to happen. All right, let's take it from the other side, though. How eager do you think the Sabres would be to want to trade J.J. Paterka instead of paying him if they could find the right fit? Is that something they want to do? I'm not going to necessarily say shop him, but how open do you think they'd be to it?
I think it depends who they acquire. Who's coming in? I mean, how many people are you bringing in? Are there veterans? Do you need to bring a veteran in and maybe take that spot, that he has? What are you doing with Jack Quinn? Are you going to give him a qualifying offer? Are you going to sign him to a number of years, or are you going to trade him? What are you doing with him? With J.J. Paterka, you can't. I mean, it's 55 goals in 2 years. That's a pretty good number. 28 and 27. I would say he improved defensively last year, but the numbers certainly aren't great. If you watched him, he was better as a two-way player, but he still needs to get even better than he is right now if he wants to be a top-flight NHL player, even with scoring 28 and 27 goals his last 2 years. So I know last year at the trade deadline, a so-called insider was talking about that the Rangers and Sabres are pretty close to a deal, and they hadn't even talked about it. It was totally false. So it seems like people like to pop his name out there. I know that we've already had one experience where it wasn't true in the least. We'll see how that one shakes down. But I don't think they're eager to trade him, no.
Bo Byram, another guy that is getting a lot of traction with his name being out there. How do you see this playing out when it comes to Bo Byram? I know you've said, hey, if he has to stay here, he has to stay here. They could do a deal for a couple more years and then see where it goes. But how about exploring something for him? Is that a little bit different than JJ, given maybe where they believe and where Bo Byram's head himself is?
Yeah, Bo Byram wants to be, he was a fourth overall pick, and he wants to be a top NHL defenseman, and he understands there's Dahlin and Power here, and that kind of puts him down on the totem pole. And it's not like he hates Buffalo at all. He doesn't. He likes the team. He likes the players on the team. He gets along with them very well. He doesn't sit around and mope around the locker room. He's engaged with the guys, and that really has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's just he's never going to play on the power play here because that's going to always be Dahlin and Power. Unless there's an injury. And, of course, with Makar, he wasn't going to play power play in Colorado. So, that's something I think he would like to do. He would just like a better, bigger role on a team. But Adams has 2 years. If he's looking to say, all right, well, if he doesn't want to be here, all right, I'll do this. Well, he's got a couple of years he can do it. He doesn't have to do it immediately. He doesn't have to take the first trade that comes along. He can wait and take the trade that he wants. you know, you can always sign Byram to a 1 or 2 year deal and, you know, look to make that transaction if that's what Adams decides that he wants to do. Adams has been very staunch in his stance that, and he's done it since day one, he wants players playing for the Buffalo Sabres that want to be here. So if Bo Byram has decided that he would like to be on a team where he can have a bigger role, then, you know, Adams would probably accommodate him at some point. But with 2 years, it's 2 years before he could become an unrestricted free agent, so it doesn't have to be done tomorrow.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Hur Hotline. And then finally, Paul, the issue of goaltending with the Sabres going into this offseason. What kind of conversations do you think they're having right now? Like, what is the overall big philosophical conversation do you think the Sabres are having right now about how to approach goaltending before they get into the nitty-gritty of the details of the contracts with Devon Levi and how all this works?
Well, Adams has said if he has to go into the season with Luukkonen and Levi, he's very comfortable with that. Levi had a very good season with the Rochester Americans, but the last series where they played the number one regular season team, now it doesn't look like they're the number one team in the AHL because they've already played 3 games against Charlotte and they're down 3 games to none and been outscored 15-4. So Laval, even though they were the number one team in the AHL in the regular season, and I think we're better than Rochester, not a lot better, but they were better than Rochester in the 5-game series and advanced. And there were Levi didn't play anywhere near as well in that series. There were some question marks, which lead me to some question marks moving forward. You know, can he be an NHL goaltender? Is he ready? He played great in Game 4 where Rochester could force that Game 5. But he certainly wasn't up for it in Game 5. The 3 losses, he did not play well. I'm going by memory. I believe Laval scored 18 goals on him in the 5 games. I think it's something like that. And, you know, and that's a lot different than Syracuse, where he gave up the first 2 goals of the series and didn't give up another one for the rest of the 3-game series. You know, he got 2 consecutive shutouts after that. So the large body of work was very good for him, but the last series does stick in my head thinking, well, that was the best regular season team, and you know, you in my mind he really wasn't up for it, and I don't know what that means moving forward. Look, at if it were me, I would not go into the season with Luukkonen and Levi when I, you know, have to make the playoffs the next year. Could it work out? Sure it could. They both could be great. Luukkonen could, you know, find what he did not this past year but the year before in the last 35 games and play that way, which he, you know, when he plays that way, he's a top goaltender. And Levi could be ready to make his mark in the National Hockey League. That all could happen, and it all could blow up in their face. And what's plan B if that were to happen, you know, if neither one grabbed the reins? So personally, for me, I would not go in the season with both of them.
Paul, is there anybody in Rochester outside of goaltender, outside of Devon Levi, that you think could make this club next year? Whether it's Rosine, Cale Clegg, somebody like Noah Oslin. Is there somebody that's, you know, the last couple of years you had until they traded, obviously, Savoy, and then you had Kulik, obviously, who was right there knocking on the door, and he's now here. Is there anybody next year who could take a spot?
Johnson, maybe, on defense, and he's a good puck-moving defenseman. Mm-hmm. There were things I saw in the playoffs I didn't like. He got a little overwhelmed at times, I thought. But, again, the overall body of work, I think, you know, he maybe has a possibility. Roseanne, just when he gets to the NHL, just it hasn't been there. Now, I'm not saying it never will be. I mean, he's a great player in the American Hockey League, an all-star, scores goals, you know, makes tough plays. I mean, the guy, he's not that big, but I'll tell you what, there was a goal against Laval where he made the play along the wall. He out-muscled a defenseman who's quite a bit bigger than him, basically carried him to the net, kept a puck going where it couldn't be frozen so Rusick could score a goal, and it was a big goal in helping Rochester win that game against Laval. And I thought, wow, that was a gritty, tough goal by a guy who, I mean, he was out battling a defenseman who weighed well over 200 pounds and won that battle and just wouldn't be denied. And I thought, well, that's what you have to see in the National Hockey League right there. You know, that kind of want and that kind of you're just not going to stop me. And I just – it's a very, very small sample, yes, in the NHL. So you would think he might be the guy that could do it. But the rest of them – you know, Austlin, I thought, played very well up here when he was here. But I wouldn't rush him. They've rushed too many prospects, and I just don't think Austlin's been there. Hellenius, same thing. I don't think he had a good playoff, a very good playoff. But I definitely would keep him down there. Kozak maybe would be a guy that could be ready to take the role. He certainly, you know, when he was with Malenstein, I think that's a good, you know, game-changing line type of a line that could go in and change the tempo of a game. Scored a couple of goals while I was in Buffalo. I did like him a lot. So he possibly could be somebody who could help. But the rest of them, I just would not rush him. Cal Clegg is just, he's not an NHL player. Did very. He's one of those guys that needs a league between the AHL and the NHL, and he'd probably be an all-star. But, you know, he's not a guy that, you know, is going to play, you know, with the Sabres. Or they have the two Russian defensemen that I think are going to be NHL players, but I just don't think they're quite ready yet. This is one's been in North America now with the Amex for 2 years, one for 1 year. I like their progress. I like the way they play. I think they are going to be NHL defensemen, but I don't think quite yet.
All right, Paul, real quick. It's first time since 08-09 we have a Stanley Cup rematch. Panthers and Oilers last year, of course. Oilers were down 3-0. They win 3 straight only to lose in Game 7 in Florida. They do have the home ice this time around. No Zach Hyman for the Oilers. That'll hurt them. But how do you see this thing playing out?
Well, the Oilers, even without Hyman, I think are a better team than they were last year. And it just seems like Florida keeps ramping it up and ramping it up. They know how to do this. Mm-hmm. Third time in a row, they've been in the finals. So I'm hoping... I thought we would get a great series between Edmonton and Dallas. That didn't pan out. That was only a 5-game series, which is why we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs till Wednesday waiting for hockey. And I'm hoping the same thing happens between Florida and Edmonton. I mean, same thing that I think it's going to be a very good close series. I just don't see either team running away with it. I think it easily could turn into a 7-game series. Especially, as I said, since I think both teams are better than they were last year when they met in the finals. So hopefully we will get that.
Yeah, let's hope it's last year was drama with the winning 3 games in a row, but I'd like to see a little back and forth this time around. You know what I mean, Paul? Instead of three mm-hmm. games in a row and then a team on the brink for 3 straight. Yeah, it was great drama at the end of it, great theater, but let's have a little back and forth. That'd be nice this time around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it would be. And, you know, see some good hockey and not like blowaway games or anything like that. And I was just disappointed the way the Dallas Stars handled the series against Edmonton. I thought, especially, you know, having Rantanen and he, you know, coming in, he was playing like Wayne Gretzky. By the time he was done, he was playing like a guy they just called up from the minors. I mean, he just wasn't there. When your best player is not your best player, look at the Oilers. Who are the top 2 scorers in the playoffs? Dreisaitl and McDavid, your best players have to be your best players. They are, and for Dallas, they weren't.
And real quick, Paul, I know I said that a minute ago, but since we're on this topic, how about Peter DeBoer? And I mean, how wild was kind of what happened there with him and his interactions, the media with Ottinger, everything?
Yeah, especially you would have thought he would have backed off it by the time he spoke after the game, but you know he went all in as far as. Well, he had lost 6 of 7 games, and it's like, well, yeah, if you wanted to do, if you were worried about that stat, then you would have not started him in the game. You would have said, well, okay, he's lost 6 of 7. We can't count on him. We've got to make a move here in goal. You don't do it in the game after the first two mm-hmm. shots go in the net. That's not the time to sit there and think to yourself, well, he's lost 6 of 7 games. Yeah. you know, and yeah, you make that change maybe in December when you're trying to maybe, you know, all right, let's see if we can get the team going because the team certainly needed a boost to get going. But at the end of the day, if you're going to win that hockey game, who gives you the best chance to win the hockey game? It's not Casey DeSmith, even though the first two goals went in. Would I like a big save on the second goal breakaway? Absolutely. But I wouldn't have pulled him for it. I understand what he did, but I wouldn't have done it at that point of a series where you're in an elimination game and Jake Oettinger, when he's on, is one of the best goaltenders around. It just, you know, made no sense. And then to basically stomp on him afterwards was puzzling also.
Paul, why are the Sabres taking over the Bills facility for the draft?
Well, it's, I think, just because of the size of it. You know, the Bills facility is like state-of-the-art there. The Sabres, I think, felt like they just didn't have enough room for the scouts and everybody they wanted in the room for what they do. And plus, even for us in the media, you know, when they redid the arena down there, they forgot about the media room. So we are in what I call a closet. It's not really a closet, but it's an extremely small room down there. So it'll help our coverage, too, to be in the media room there down at the stadium. But everything is state-of-the-art down at the stadium, and I think they just felt, why not? I mean, we're not using it for those 2 days. Let them come in. They can set up. They'll have a good setup for it. There's plenty of room. So it just made sense for them to go on and do that.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot, buddy. I kept you a little bit long today, but I appreciate
that's
it. I always
right.
enjoy catching up. All right. Well, maybe we'll do it again during the later this week or sometime during the series, I'm sure. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right. You got it. That is Paul Hamilton. And we already told you that his appearances on WGR, but I'll say it again. I brought to you by Equitable Advisors because I kept him on so long. I'll say it again. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We appreciate Paul's time. Today is an anniversary in sports. Something happened today. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Man, I can't believe that happened. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Plus, NHL awards voting is starting. And we have an award that has come in. A Sabre has made a list. Didn't win it, really come close to it. But he got some votes. I'll tell you about that when we come back next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
the nonsense and the foolishness and the top-notch basketball analysis, all of that stuff's going to be on. It's going to be on ESPN or ABC next year, not on TNT. For that, it's we're sad. But I'm proud to say for the last time, thanks for watching us. It's the NBA on TNT.
End of an era. Ernie Johnson. Yeah, they do it right. And I hope that they continue to do it right over on ESPN and on ABC. No more NBA on TNT. The NBA finals are set. It is the Indiana Pacers against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Not a good weekend or result for the NBA has to have a big market crowd. I mean, Indiana against Oklahoma City? Like, no. There's no New York, no Chicago, no LA, no Boston, no Houston, no Philly. I mean, yeah, these are two, you know, smaller type of markets. Yeah, I know Indianapolis can be a bigger city. I get it. But this is not, when anybody talks about the conspiracy theories of the NBA, the NHL, whoever it is, rigging to have certain teams in the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, the NBA, the NHL Stanley Cup Final, whatever it is. Now, I'm all for a good conspiracy theory when it comes to the draft, when it comes to the lottery, because I think the NBA has done some shenanigans over the years. But I do not think that they intentionally have teams make the finals. And if you believe that, and because of ratings, because of market, then this is not a good example for you this year. Because these two teams are not that. I was stunned. I did not realize how much of a favorite Oklahoma City is. I think they're a pretty big favorite here. I got to go and look at the actual odds here again. I mean, they're 9.5 just on the first game. But I mean, like the overall numbers, see if I can find it here. I don't have it with me. But I give Indiana a shot here. I mean, I know Oklahoma City plays great defense. And, you know, you got two. You got the MVP, league MVPs playing here, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But man, Tyrese Halliburton is fun to watch. And I think that you could have a really good series here. I'd like to see that. I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it because I didn't need the Knicks to make it. I'm not a big Knicks fan. It's a vibe watching it in New York City and Madison Square Garden. But I was glad they beat the Celtics. Didn't need them to make it. I actually like Indiana. It's a great basketball state. They're kind of under the radar. They've had their chance. They made it in 2000, lost to Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. Haven't been there since. Yeah, totally cool with it. OKC? Sure. I'll be pulling for Indiana. Today is the 15-year anniversary of a very, very famous, or I should say infamous, play in sports. Evan, I don't know if you'll remember this.
15 years. So I was in the sixth grade when this happened.
Yeah. So you know about it, but you probably don't remember it exactly. Does the name Armando Galarraga ring a bell?
Oh, yeah, of course. I know
what
that
happened?
Play. I know that play. He was one.
What is it?
He was an out away from a perfect game and ended up losing it because Jim Joyce called him safe at first base.
That's exactly right. I knew you'd know it. So today is the 15-year anniversary. It was 2010 when Armando Galarraga was one out away from a perfect game pitching for the Detroit Tigers. And they're playing a game. Who was it? Let's see. Miguel Cabrera has it.
I think it was
rookie Jason Donald hits it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think they were playing Cleveland Indians at the time.
Okay. And it's clearly an out. And Jim Joyce calls him safe. He even goes to make the out sign and then calls him safe. Find the video today. You'll see it. And everybody's like, what? I want to read from you. You know what came out of it, though? I'll tell you that. It really sucked for Armando Galarraga. But Jim Joyce later received death threats from Tigers fans. But then he issued a direct apology to Galarraga. I'm reading from Wikipedia. Saying that the call was incorrect. Galarraga accepted the mistake gracefully saying, quote, nobody's perfect. End quote. That's pretty ironic and funny, actually, when you think about it. Nobody's perfect. Except me, pal. I should have been perfect. And you robbed it, he should have said. He didn't do that. Observers pointed to the handling of the situation as an example of good sportsmanship on both sides. He was presented with a Medal of Reasonableness, for his reasoned response to Joyce's call at the rally to restore sanity and or fear. Come on, it's crazy. Yeah, it was really that was terrible. That was terrible.
I heard there was like a, I don't know if it's on Schmetflix.
You're learning, pal.
If it was, like, I think I heard that it was like some, like a, I'm trying to think, a lost class, like a, that are trying to reverse it, being able to say, even though
that
it wasn't.
He got it?
Yeah, that he got it. Yeah. And I think that.
Class action lawsuit, or is that what you're trying to say?
Something like that.
No?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe that it wouldn't fit. But either way, I get your point.
Yeah.
There's a group that's trying to, you know, get that to say. They call it now the 28 out perfect game is what it is. Can you
yeah.
be 27
I think,
outs?
I think that actually, was what was called on Netflix. Outs.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go to Billy in Toronto, who's up. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal, listen. Yeah, I remember that game. I remember that game vividly. And I'll tell you what, I'll throw a different angle at you here. You know who I blame for that loss? Loss of the perfect game, I blame the first baseman, Cabrera. And I'll tell you why.
Ooh,
we got the same problem up here in Toronto with Vlad Guerrero. Vlad Guerrero thinks he's a second baseman. And if you see where that ball was hit, it was hit right at the second baseman. If Cabrera's head was in the game, and not joking and laughing with all the other guys, he would have just let that ball go to the second baseman, throw over it, and there's your perfect game. I blame Cabrera all the way on that. Nobody said anything about it, but I've watched it.
It is actually. I'm looking. Wait, I just froze the video. He is totally where the second baseman should be when he gets it. And the second baseman is like behind him, like clearly would have made an easy play.
Right. And like I say, I've had that argument in our sports talk show with our first baseman, Guerrero. So, anyway, Sal, listen. I'm a big baseball fan. I know I usually call you during football season. The weather's finally starting to warm up here, and I can't wait to get down there. I love AAA baseball, so I can't wait to come over the border, have your guys' wings and catch our AAA team in your city. But I'll tell you, I like watching it better. I can't, Sal, I don't know what your opinion is. I'll give mine, and then I'll listen to what you have to say. But, Sal, I have just absolutely turned off by the Blue Jays after this contract we gave to Vlad Guerrero. I'm in a state of shock that we gave him this contract. We gave him $300 million up front, and this guy is just not even close to that kind of player. He's okay. He's a good player. He's not $500 million worth, and I'm going to boycott them for at least this year. I always said in my retirement that I'd grab season's tickets behind the plate until it's time to put sand on me or bury me or whatever. But I cannot watch this team on a guy that's supposed to be the face of this franchise, Billy.
I've loved Vlad. And, you know, he came up through Buffalo and we loved having him here. We don't get a lot of superstars like that. And he was obviously the number one ranked prospect when he came up. We love him. I don't know. I wouldn't feel that way. I think if you're a sports fan and you have a guy who's that, I mean, the guy mashes, right? And he is the face of the Blue Jays, basically. I think you gotta be happy when you can keep guys like that, keep them around, because what's the alternative? You let him go. Now, the Yankees lost Soto, but they have the resources to go out and get a whole bunch of guys to try and fill the void, right? And Soto, he's a superstar. But yeah, I don't know. I can't get with you on this, Billy. I respect the fact of what you're saying here, but I can't get with you on that one.
Well, I'll tell you why, Sal, I don't like him. Number one, This is a guy that was born in Montreal. This is a guy that's played all through the been up in America and Canada his whole life. He has yet to do an interview in English. And the face of Canada, who's supposed to be, well, like I just said, the face of Canada, when that World Baseball Classic comes next year, Freddie Freeman of the LA Dodgers is going to be our first baseman because Vlad's going to be playing for the Dominican Republic. I don't like the guy, Sal, and I respect the fact that you do. But if this guy's as
well, he's not Canadian. Don't you have to play for your team that you're the nationality of? Right? I mean, you don't play with the team where you're based out of. You know what I mean? That's not how it works.
Yeah, but he was born in Canada.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I do. Hey, Billy, listen, no offense. I gotta get running. I gotta get to the break here. I appreciate your call. I can't get with you on it. I'm a big Vlad fan. I'm a big Vlad fan. But I appreciate the fact that you, as a Blue Jays fan, like having that take is something. It's kind of interesting. Thanks, Billy. Always appreciate when you call. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here and we'll wrap up the show. I did say I was going to get to the Bills hires and what they did on Friday. They made some announcements, so I'll talk about that briefly when we come back here to wrap things up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, so on Friday, the Bills made some announcements for promotions and additions to their front office. And the biggest name that you'll recognize is Terrence Gray. Terrence Gray was promoted to assistant general manager. He was director of player personnel, and I believe that what his title was. My apologies if it's incorrect, but I think that's what it was. But anyway, the point I'm going to get to here is, you may say, wait a minute, the Bills already have an assistant general manager. His name is Brian Gain. So that is correct. The Bills, Brian Gain's not going anywhere. He is still a member of the organization. Brian Gain and Terrence Gray are now both co-assistant general managers. The Bills will have two assistant general managers for working alongside Brandon Bean. They also have promoted Andy Gosper to assistant to the general manager. So yes, I know all of the jokes that go along with it from the office, assistant to the, right? But that is how they're doing it. So Terrence Gray and Brian Gain are now both assistant general managers for the Buffalo Bills, and Andy Gosper has been promoted to assistant to the general manager. They also have a new Mary Kathleen M.K. Collins named as the player personnel coordinator. R.J. Webb was promoted to college area scout. Jay Hill, a Blesto college scout. These are all promotions. Ryan Moore, promoted to manager of football administration and operations. Dennis Locke, promoted to vice president of football research. You might remember his name from being in the analytics department. He gets a promotion there. Luis Guillamo was promoted to senior director of application development. Warren Zarilla, promoted to assistant director of application development. And Santino Parlato was promoted to football analyst. They also made some additions. Tabani Richards, promoted to senior assistant athletic director. I shouldn't say that. Medical staff, sorry. The promotions on the medical staff. Joe Mika, promoted to senior director of rehab and player health. Mike Mika, named director of rehab senior assistant. And Alyssa Lee was named assistant athletic trainer. So the Bills made all those moves. And I tweeted about it at Sal Sports. You can find them all right there. If you go to my Twitter feed, you have the whole list for the Buffalo Bills moves there. In the meantime, you got Duffer and Marty coming up for Sabres Live, and then it's One Bills Live after that. I'm sure Sabres Live is going to talk a lot more about the addition of Jarmo Kekäläinen, who is the new senior advisor to Kevin Adams, the GM of the Buffalo Sabres. Then it's One Bills Live. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR. Enjoy your Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.